Good morning. Children, come on up here. No squirt guns. Come on up here. Have a seat. For those of you who are here, welcome to our congregation. It's good to be here this morning. We've had an eventful morning, so you all can have a seat right down here in the center. So I'm going to share a message today on Jonah the prophet. I'm calling this message, if we got the slide, the rest of the story, because most people, when you ask them if they know the story, some people, they've never heard Jonah, that's a possibility. But most people who've heard the story of Jonah only know the part about where Jonah runs from God, gets swallowed by this big fish, and then gets spit out. But there's more to the story of Jonah, so here's the rest of the story. We'll read, pray, then we'll read this scripture. Father God, as we open your word this morning, we're thankful to be in your presence. And we pray, God, that you would also open our eyes and ears to see and hear the life you call us to hear your mercies. And not mercy just for us, but mercy for everyone in this world. And God, I pray you'll pour upon me the gift from your Spirit this morning of preaching your word with grace and truth. In the name of Jesus, amen. So let's read this passage of scripture here. It's on the screen if you want to follow along there. This is Jonah chapter 4, the 11 verses of chapter 4. But to Jonah, this seemed very wrong. And he became angry. Right, so, let me stop here. Jonah's angry here because he finally listened to God after his little big fish experiment. And he figures out, he goes to Nineveh, he tells them, look, God's judgment is coming on you. You better repent. And they repent, these wicked Ninevites. And if you do any reading about Nineveh, they were really ruthless people. And so God changed his mind. He said, I'm not going to smite them with judgment. After all, I'm going to show mercy. And now Jonah is angry. So Jonah says, isn't this what I said to the Lord when I was still at home? This is what I tried to forestall by fleeing Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, the Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live. But the Lord replied, is it right for you to be angry? Jonah had gone out and sat down at a place east of the city. There he had made himself a shelter, sat in its shade, and waited to see what would happen to the city. Then the Lord God provided a leafy plant and made it grow up over Jonah to give shade for his head to ease his discomfort. And Jonah was very happy about the plant. But at dawn the next day, God provided a worm which chewed the plant so that it would wither. When the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind, and the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. He wanted to die and said, it would be better for me to die than to live. But God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry about the plant? It is, he said. And I'm so angry, I wish I were dead. But the Lord said, you've been concerned about this plant, though you did not tend to it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. And should I not have concern for the great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and also many animals? The word of the Lord, thanks be to God for the people of God. So, I have a question. How many of you like going to the mall? parents, you got to get them to the mall. Because especially this time of year, there might be a time when your parents go to the mall this time of year and they go without you, but we'll leave that. But, you know, my children are older now. I remember taking them to the mall to see a certain fat man in a red suit. You guys looking forward to seeing Santa Claus this year? Yeah. Well, you know, I just moved from the state of Delaware, the first state, and in between Newark and Wilmington, we have this huge mall. I actually try to avoid it because Delaware is one of the states where we have no sales tax, so that means that everyone from Delaware, from Pennsylvania, from Maryland, and New Jersey that's within a couple hours is coming to our mall to go shopping, and there's two exits from the mall off of Interstate 95 just into the mall, and you can get in there in 10 minutes, and it'll take you an hour to get out of there. So I try and avoid the mall. But I heard this story about a young girl. Girls, how old are you? 6 and a half. How old are you? How old are you? 3 and a half. How old? Six. How old? 9? 10. All right, well, I heard this story one time about a girl who was about 10 years old. And it was after church. She'd been to church with her mom and dad. And after church, they went to the mall. And her mom said, well, I got to do some shopping. Sit right here on this bench. Now, side note, I personally don't recommend leaving your child to sit on the bench in the mall. But she sat on the bench and she had her Bible out and she was reading. And she's reading the story of Jonah. Whoops. Okay. She was reading the story of Jonah and there was this old man sitting on the bench by her. And finally he said, hey, is that a Bible you're reading? And the little girl seemed surprised, but pleasantly surprised, said, well, yes, sir, it is a Bible I'm reading. She goes, I'm reading the story of Jonah. He goes, really? He goes, you mean to tell me you believe that? She goes, yes. He goes, that's a story about a guy being swallowed by a big whale and then being spit back out. You mean to tell me you really believe that? And this girl wisely said, yes, and when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask Jonah all about it. And this old man, who is really more like an old curmudgeon, looked at her and he said, well, what if Jonah is in hell? And the girl, she looked mortified by this. But then, in a moment of brilliance, she looked at this old curmudgeon. She said, well, sir, as she got up, I think you're going to have to ask him then. So, hey, you know, the world around us is changing, though. You're more likely to run in to someone like this old curmudgeon than you are to run into someone who believes like this little girl. And it's those people, not just the little girl who believes, not just us, but those people for whom God is concerned about. It strikes me funny in this story. I mean, I'm trying to wrap my head around Jonah and what he's saying, because twice Jonah says, it would be better for me to die than to live. And I'm like, is it really that bad? Is showing mercy really that bad? Well, if you pick up commentaries on Jonah, scholars, they like to speculate. Why was Jonah so angry? And Maybe Jonah was prejudiced towards the Ninevites as a Hebrew. He'd been conditioned to start to believe that his people were superior. Maybe Jonah just harbored disdainment for the Ninevites because of all the wicked things, and, you know, people should get what they deserve. You do things wrong, you wrong people, especially if you go out and hurt them and beat them up and do things like that. They ought to get what's coming. We all know how to deal with bullies, right? Show them mercy. That's not what I was taught in school, right? I won't tell you what my dad told me to do with bullies. Showing mercy. And maybe Jonah's, he's just angry because he has contempt, because he's forgotten Israel's calling, which was never just to be the people of God for themselves, but to be a light to the rest of the nations. And so, you know, Jonah, y'all are sitting here on this stage. There's not any shade here. This pretty scorching heat up here. And God provides it for him. And in this passage we read, Jonah recites Israel's fundamental understanding of who God is. That when they were delivered out of Egypt, they came to know God as a God who is gracious and compassionate and slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. And yet somehow, Jonah is at a place where he has forgotten that love, that grace, and that mercy is just not for him. We, right now, you see these children sitting up on this stage. What do you notice about them? Yep, all different sizes and shapes. Different skin colors. Different ages. What's that? Different ancestors. Oh, hair textures. But different ancestors too. Pretty? Cute. Yes. Different personalities. And they're going to grow up with different likes, different interests. Some of them will really be into sports. Some of them, who cares about sports? Some of them will like reading lots of books. Some of them won't. Some of them will stay living right in the Milwaukee area. And some of them will say, I got to venture out and live somewhere else. Delaware. The odds are slim on that, but it's possible, right? But we also, right now, we live in a world, a society that is teaching us to other people and see people who are not like us, who look different than us, who think different sometimes, as the enemy. We have an enemy-making machine that's all saturating our culture that would like us to forget that God is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. These children, the one guaranteed commonality, the two guaranteed commonalities they all have is they all bear the image of God who created them. And they all bear the image of the baptism in Christ God is waiting to give them one day. And if we could learn to see everyone through those two images, we wouldn't end up being like Jonah. angry. Because people we don't like, people we're afraid of, people who are different than us, are being shown mercy. We'd just be thankful that God's been merciful to us too. But we're not in Nineveh. So earlier in this play, do you all remember the play? Did you enjoy it? Yeah. I'm glad you don't have the squirt guns or the silly string right here, right now. But there was a sign that said, "Welcome to Party Town Nineveh," right? Do you remember that? Yeah. We're not in Nineveh anymore. We're in Milwaukee. Welcome to Party Town, Milwaukee. So I've lived in a few cities. Let's see if I can set this up here. Anyone ever take an Uber ride? And now I'm really good, messing. Yeah, that fish. Anyone ever take an Uber ride before? Man, I used to drive Uber. For about 2 years, I drove Uber in the city of Baltimore. I always said I could write a book called The Confessions of an Uber Driver, and I'd make a killing of money. There was never a dull moment. And there, you know, Baltimore, Milwaukee, there's things that are different about them. You go out to Baltimore, you're going to get crab cakes. Come to Milwaukee, I think it's brats and cheese curds and Packers. I'm a Bears fan. What? Bucks. I went and saw the Milwaukee Bucks play when I was a kid, and it was the Bradley Center, I believe, then. I've lived in the city of Memphis, in the city of Denver. And I grew up in LaPorte, Indiana, which is about 40 miles southeast of Chicago. We would go up to Cubs games. I'll take the booze again. But I've been around a few cities. I think the only big cities in America that I have yet to travel to is San Francisco, Seattle, and Albuquerque, New Mexico. I've been in every other major city in the United States. I forgot San Antonio. But I've been in every other major city since then. This cities can be wonderful places. There are a lot of things to do, a lot of things to see. Whatever your interests are, it's there. In Delaware, 20 miles outside of Philadelphia, you got all the patriotic stuff you can go see. You can go see the Rocky statue. Christmas in Delaware, or Christmas in Philadelphia, right down in Center City. All kinds of things to do. But as you all know, the cities have their challenges too, right? Our news loves to talk about all of the problems. God calls us to be the solution. And I want to tell you this. God has shown us mercy so that we will show them mercy. God has loved us in Jesus Christ, given His Son Jesus Christ, let Him die, this crucified, resurrected, and exalted Jesus Christ, so that we would go out and embody that life with people. And God has placed us in Milwaukee for all of its good and all of its bad. But I will tell you this, and this is the whole point I want to get. But one, we protect these children, not let them grow up thinking they are each enemies to be feared. We have a society that is trying to tell us we should fear anyone that isn't like us. But also this. We want every one of these children to come to know God, to love God, and know that God loves them. But it's not just these children. It's children growing up all through this city. It's the children of God who have already grown up and are adults in this city. And we will never engage them and show them what the good news of Jesus Christ is like if we fear them. And I'm going to push this just a little further. I was originally thought, if we fear them, but there's more. We will never show people what the good news of Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God, is really about unless we can love them. Love them where they're at. We're not here to fix them. We're here to listen. Trusting that God is the one who can fix them just as God fixes us. But we could say that we love everyone. I bet you if you would ask Jonah on a good day, Jonah, do you love the world? Well, yes. Except when times came to crunch time, he didn't. We could say God loves you all we want. And we love you all we want. People are not dumb. They can see it in what we do. They can see it in our body language. Either we create places of hospitality, welcoming. And by the way, we can do all this. You do not have to agree with everyone. But every one of us, even in this room, if you ask around enough, you'll find things we disagree on. We all have differences. I mean, if the whole world agreed with me, then it just we might just all fall each other off a cliff, right? But in the city of Milwaukee, are we going to meet people who have different beliefs and different lifestyle choices than we would make? Of course. We can listen to them. Learn from them and love them, which is how you lead them, without agreeing, but just to say, hey, we're all beggars in this life together, hoping for a morsel of mercy. Come follow along and let me show you who Jesus is, the one who showed mercy when he gave his life up. Instead of lashing out in anger, said to his Father in heaven, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. Children, thank you for being up here. Thank you for being an object lesson this morning. We're going to sing another song. What song is it? Come to Jesus. All right, Cliff's going to lead us in another song. Thank you all. Good job. Fist bumps. All right. Let's stand and let's sing this song.